We're still continuing our thoughts in Hebrews chapter 1. I invite you to turn there. Hebrews chapter 1. And I want to read a few verses. In Hebrews chapter 1, and beginning with verse 9. Well, I'm going to actually begin with verse 8, where it says, "But unto the Son he said, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. And they shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shall thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail." I want to center our thoughts this morning on verse 9, and in particular the first part of this verse where it says, "Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity." The word iniquity has to do with lawlessness. Lawlessness simply means that you can live like you want without fear of prosecution, retribution, consequences. But here we see that the Lord loves righteousness. And I think we need to focus on that. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 10, it says, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." The Lord loves righteousness because it has to do with the kingdom of the heavens, the rule of the heavens over the earth. And those that love righteousness as He does can expect opposition. Not only opposition from Satan and his cohorts, but Satan has a way of stirring up others to hinder you in your race. And we are not to allow others to affect our walk with the Lord, regardless of what they do. And so we can expect persecution for righteousness' sake. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 20, he says, "For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." Again, reference to the kingdom of the heavens and a reference of entering the kingdom of the heavens. And so, the scribes and the Pharisees had a righteousness which really is essential. The scribes and the Pharisees were just. They were not living in adultery. They were not stealing. They were not murderers. They were just. But the righteousness which God or the Lord loves is the righteousness which is of faith. The righteousness that comes because we are pleasing Him. And the Lord says in this passage, "Except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of being just, you will not enter the kingdom of the heavens." In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, the Lord tells His disciples, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." All the things that are referred to here have to do with clothing and food and shelter. All the essentials of life will be yours. If you take care of what's important to me, says the Lord, I'll take care of what's important to you. And this word seek is in the present tense. I was talking to a friend this week, and he was telling me that he was telling another friend of his that he was seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And he said, "Well, You don't have to do that anymore. You got saved. You know? That is error. This word seek is in the present tense. This is something that we need to be doing all the time. We need to be diligent in seeking the righteousness which is of faith and an entrance into the kingdom of the heavens, ruling and reigning with Christ. Paul tells Timothy in Timothy 6:11, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness." Here's a man of God saved in the family, and Paul is telling him to seek and to pursue righteousness. This word follow is a very interesting word. It also can be translated persecute. We have all seen or heard of the television series The Fugitive. The passion of the officer seeking this doctor who is supposedly guilty of murdering his wife. The adamant chase is the same thing. This officer has a passion to capture this man. And we need to have a passion in pursuing righteousness. And that righteousness, of course, is the righteousness which is of faith. Another thing that he needs to pursue is godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. These are all attributes that we need to be following after, pursuing, developing in our life if we want to be pleasing to the Lord. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 through 8, Paul says, "I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness." How are we to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? By fighting a good fight, by finishing the course, and by keeping the faith. That's how you do it. And if you will do that, you can be assured a crown of righteousness. Why do we need a crown? If we enter into the kingdom of the heavens, we need a crown to show our authority that we are in charge. That is, under the Lord, of course. He is the King of Kings. But as a king or a lord, we are in charge. We are judging 10 cities, 5 cities, whatever the case may be. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, again it says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness." I don't know whether you've ever been hungry or very thirsty. Living in America, that doesn't happen too often. Maybe we get pretty thirsty sometimes. But we have really not experienced the hunger that some countries have. I realize that people say that there are children that go to bed hungry. Thousands of children go to bed hungry in this land. But these two basic elements in a human's life, hunger and thirst, will drive you to do most anything. If you're hungry enough, you will steal to get something to eat. If you are thirsty enough, you will even drink polluted water to satiate your thirst, which may kill you. You've seen you've seen cowboy movies where people drink bad water and die. The point is this: blessed are those that hunger and thirst after the righteousness which is of faith. It says they shall be filled. Actually, they shall be satisfied. If you are pursuing the righteousness which is of faith, what is the satisfaction? Ruling and reigning with Christ. That is the satisfaction. What is the satisfaction? The crown of life. You don't get the crown of life if you don't fight, if you don't finish, and you don't live by faith. So the Lord loves righteousness. Why does He love righteousness? Because He knows that by living a life that pleases God, the rewards are beyond comprehension. He also hates lawlessness. He says, "Thou lovest righteousness," in Hebrews 1:9, "and hatest iniquity." The word iniquity means lawlessness. In Judges chapter 17, verse 6, it says, "In those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which is right in his own eyes." That is lawlessness. There was no king. What does that mean? God was not in charge of them anymore. Actually, between Judges and 1 Samuel, where a king was installed, Saul, we find the book of Ruth. But from Judges to 1 Samuel, there was no king. There was no authority. And so men began to do those things which were pleasing in their own sight. They did what they wanted to do. And we find that taking place today. In Matthew chapter 24, His disciples were gathered around Him, and Jesus was talking about the temple being torn down. And in Matthew 24 and verse 3, the disciples came and said, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of Thy coming and of the end of the age?" Well, He told them many things, but one thing in particular is in verses 11 and 12 of Matthew 24. "And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." These false prophets are the ones that are going to deceive many people. They are the ones who will one day say, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Thy name?" And "Lord, Lord, have we done this?" They're lawless. We'll see that in just a moment. But there'll be false prophets. Iniquity or lawlessness shall abound. It's not only abounding in our government. It's abounding in the church. The Word of God has no authority in the church. They've taken away, "Thus saith the Lord." And they're making their own opinions, and they're ignoring what the Word of God says. And this happens. And it's happening today. And it says, "When the love of many shall wax cold," this is talking about obedience. If you love Me, the Lord said, you will obey Me. And if your love for the Lord is waxing cold, it just simply means that He is losing authority in your life and in my life as well. And so when our love for Him waxes cold, we're going to become disobedient and lawless. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, it says, "Let no man deceive you," even though he may say he's a prophet. Don't let him deceive you by any means. "For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin." The word "sin" is the Greek word anoma, which means lawless, or should be translated lawless. "That man of lawlessness be revealed, the son of perdition." And then in verse 7 of 2 Thessalonians 2, it says, "For the mystery of lawlessness doth already work." Lawlessness is a mystery. I guess the mystery to me is that why would anyone who knows the Lord would ever want to become lawless in his life? And the mystery of iniquity was working in the day of Paul. Just think, well, it's working today. I just think of as it was in the days of Lot. Were they lawful in the days of Lot? No. And we're living in the days of Lot today. And so judgment is coming. There's something interesting also about the word lawlessness. In Matthew, the first occurrence of the word lawlessness is in Matthew chapter 7. And what is significant here is that Matthew chapter 7 is part of the Sermon on the Mount. And the Sermon on the Mount begins in Matthew chapter 5 and ends in Matthew chapter 7. What does the Lord deal with in this message? He deals with that which He loves, and he deals with that which he hates. He deals with the righteousness which is of faith, and he deals with the lawlessness of many. Verse 21 of Matthew 7, it says, Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils or demons? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work lawlessness. Here we have a reference to entrance into the kingdom. And except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you won't do that. This, in verse 22, deals with the workers of signs. The signs of prophecy and casting out demons and miracles. These are all signs that were worked in the day when Jesus was preaching and in the days just after, particularly during the book of Acts. Signs, wonders, and miracles were being performed during the book of Acts. And we dealt with that several Sundays ago. The reason of signs, wonders, and miracles was to authenticate the man of God. Not everybody had a Bible. In fact, the Bible was not completed until after after the first 90 years, or around 90, the year 90. But anyway, the Word of God was not complete, and you couldn't check out a man based upon what he was saying, because you had no Bible or no scripture or no scrolls to use to check him out. And so a man had to do was raise the dead. If a man raises the dead, I would be impressed, wouldn't you? I sure would. I've got a funeral this afternoon, and if somebody wants to come down and just lift her out of that casket, that would be, I'll tell you, the whole world would know about it in just very, very short time. But signs, wonders, and miracles were for a time. But there are going to be those who will do these signs, wonders, and miracles that will be lawless. And I was just thinking about the fact that when the Lord says, I never knew you, I assure you that our God is not dumb. We don't have a dumb God that doesn't know everything. And what he is saying is, I don't recognize you because of your lawless behavior. And he says, depart. Not go to hell. This is not sending people to hell. These people are not lost. To begin with, let me just point this out. Satan knows that a house divided will not stand. And I guarantee you, Satan is not casting out Satan. Satan is not dividing his house. These people are saved people. They are just doing something that God doesn't want them to do, and God allows it to happen. Why? I don't have the answer for that, but he does allow this to happen. I think he does to allow us to make choices in our own life. What choice do I want to make? I want to pursue the righteousness which is of faith. And the sign gifts do not promote faith. The sign gifts promote feeling, experience, sight. All of these things are not of faith. They are of the flesh. Okay? Now, in Mark 16:20, it says, And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming what? The Word. With what? Signs following. That's how they confirmed the Word. And that's how God worked with them when they were preaching. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which we looked at several Sundays ago, where it says, in verse 8, love never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail or be inactive. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease or stop. Whether there be knowledge, that is the word of knowledge, obviously, he's not talking about, you know, our minds going blank. That's not what he's talking about. What he's talking about is the word of knowledge, which was one of the gifts. He says, they will vanish away or be inactive. In fact, the word vanish away and the word fail are the same Greek words. They're the same. So these sign gifts are going to stop. And they were important in their day because the prophets were prophesying in part, and the knowledge was in part. And then in verse 10 it says, when that which is perfect or complete, or when all the parts come together, then that which is in part shall be done away, or fail, or vanish away. The same word that we find up in verse 9, excuse me, in verse 8, it's the same word that we find up there, which is used twice. In other words, the parts will be done away with. Then Paul says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. What are the childish things that he put away? Prophesying. He put away tongues. He put away the word of knowledge. Because how does a child talk? In little phrases. How does a child think or understand? A little at a time. How is a child's thoughts? In part. Until he begins to become a man, or, you know, he gets into school and he matures and his experiences allow him to put things together as a man. Now, in Romans chapter 6, verse 19, we see lawlessness leads to further lawlessness. He says, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to lawlessness, leading to lawlessness, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness, leading to holiness. I really think lawlessness is addictive. You can become addicted to lawlessness, just like you can become addicted to alcohol. You can become addicted to sin, the behavior of sin. There are people today that are trying to justify their behavior as they were born that way, or it was a disease. Let me tell you, you can become addicted to alcohol or any sinful behavior by indulging. It's just like drugs. I wouldn't sniff one grain of cocaine for fear, for the pleasure that you would get out of it. Obviously, it brings pleasure to the person who does it. But I assure you, I do not ever want to become addicted. I tell you, I was addicted to cigarettes, to tobacco at one time. It took me 5 months of smoking Turkish cigarettes, British cigarettes while I was overseas, so my tongue burned, my lips burned. That was back in the days when I could buy a whole carton of American cigarettes for 80 cents. 8 cents a pack. That's cheap compared to what they do today. But you know, I was addicted to that at one time, and I think I'd rather earn another degree in college as to try to break that habit. Addiction. Lawlessness, we can become addicted to it, and it leads to further addiction of lawlessness. And we need to become addicted to what? Righteousness. Pursuing righteousness, which is a faith. Titus 2:11 says, He gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all lawlessness. Did you know that we have been redeemed from lawlessness? He has given us the ability and the authority to be released from that addiction. And it doesn't take 12 steps to do it. It doesn't take 12 steps. He has delivered us from that addiction if we want it. And he wants, and the way, part of the being redeemed from lawlessness has to do with pursuing a purified life, pursuing righteousness, pursuing faith, pursuing godliness, and whatsoever things are pure and honest and so forth, thinking on these things. In verse 22 of Romans 6, it says, "But now, being made free from the sin," and there's a definite article, "the," before sin. And because of the definite article before the word sin, and it being singular in number, it is the sin of lawlessness because of the context, and also because of 1 John 3 and verse 4. But let's go on here. "Now being made free from the sin of lawlessness and become servants to God, ye have your fruits unto holiness, and the end, age-lasting life," or life for the coming kingdom. "For the wages of lawlessness is death, but the gift of God is life for the kingdom, through Jesus Christ our Lord." We are to become addicted to righteousness, being delivered from the addiction of lawlessness. And we need to appreciate the fact that being made free from lawlessness, we can become bond slaves of God. We can serve God, and that we can have life for the kingdom. That's what age-lasting life is all about, is ruling and reigning with Christ. Not salvation, but ruling and reigning with Christ. Romans 5, verse 21 tells us that as lawlessness hath reigned unto death, because there's a definite article, "the," before sin, as lawlessness reigns, when you're addicted to lawlessness, what's in charge? Lawlessness. And when lawlessness reigns, you're going to lose a life that you want. You're going to lose a life of ruling and reigning with Christ. Mark it down. And but what does Paul continue to say? "Even as lawlessness reigns, grace must reign. Even so might grace reign through" what? "Righteousness." What righteousness? The righteousness that the Lord loves. The righteousness which is of faith. What is my motivating factor? What is it that I'm in taking in to help me to be addicted to that which the Lord loves? Righteousness. A love for standing in His presence and hearing, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Grace might reign through righteousness, leading to life for the age by Jesus Christ our Lord. And with this I'll close. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22, Paul tells Timothy, he says, "Flee also youthful lusts." I was thinking about that a little bit. And when I continue to read that verse where it says, "Follow or pursue righteousness and faith and love and so forth," it gave me a little different slant on the word youthful lusts. When we were a youth, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, what were we doing? We were pursuing the sign gifts, weren't we? And Paul says, "I want you to flee these youthful lusts." Let me tell you, people that are into the sign gifts are into the experience, and they are addicted to that. I have experienced this. And you may have. But you know what? The Lord has redeemed you from that. And you need to be released from that addiction. Because when you are experiencing things and you are performing, so to speak, the sign gifts, you have abandoned faith and you're not pleasing the Lord. And the youthful lust of 1 Corinthians 13, and let me just again point that out by looking at that again, where it says in verse 11, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I had youthful lusts. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. And when I became a man, I put away childish things. I didn't have a lust for them anymore. They were no longer useful to me. And those childish things, I believe, have to do with prophecy, tongues, word of knowledge, the sign gifts. And may the Lord help us not to be caught up in these that are trying to make you feel like you don't have all God wants you to have. Have you ever heard that before? I've heard that. I want all that God wants me to have. Let me tell you, I want to live by faith. I want to love the righteousness which is of faith, and I want to hate lawlessness. Because if I don't, I will become addicted, and you as well. May the Lord help us not to be influenced or deceived by false prophets. Father, we just thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the light that it gives us to live day by day. Help us, Father, to take the counsel that Paul gave to Timothy and to flee youthful lusts. And help us, Father, to pursue the righteousness which is of faith. We know that You love that righteousness and that You loathe lawlessness. And those who are addicted to lawlessness will be denied. And Father, we don't want to stand in Your presence and hear You say, depart. Thank You again that we are secure in the family because of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You, Father, that by His resurrection we can be secure in standing in His presence and hearing, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Bless the message to each of our hearts, we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.